Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hey everyone, David here. To my left, Pastor Liz Jones.
Hello.
To my far left, Pastor Bob Wilk.
Howdy.
All right.
In the far left.
The far, far left.
He's way off.
And all of us, I guess all of us are pastors. And the subject today is going to be pastoring the prophetic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
So we know there's the gift of prophecy. We also know there's the mantle of a prophet. And that means that the prophetic is moving through the church, God speaking through his people. But I think that requires a little bit of pastoring, a little bit of oversight according to the word of God. So I just wanted to talk a little bit today about what that might look like. And maybe you're watching, you're a pastor, or you have a church that wants to introduce the prophetic, and hopefully we can say a few things that won't screw them up too bad, you know, but it might actually help them a little bit. So what do you guys think about this? Is there, like, what role would a pastor have in overseeing the prophetic expression of a church?
Yeah, Liz.
Or would a pastor have anything to do with it whatsoever?
Nothing at all.
Yeah, off with Liz.
I guess I would say, if we're talking about fivefold ministry gifts, we've talked about two of them, pastors and prophets, also apostles, evangelists, and teachers. They all have a role in equipping the church and building the church together and building up the people of God together. And so there has to be a cooperation between them. There has to be a submission one to another between them, including pastors and prophets. And even though a pastor, I'm talking about the gift of a pastor, they may be the head leader of that church. Sometimes it's not pastor actually in that position, but if they are, they're still required to submit to the other fivefold ministry when it comes to allowing input and shaping to happen there. So I guess just like first and foremost, we kind of need to lay the foundation of they're supposed to work together to equip the people of God.
What would that look like, Pastor Bob?
Equipping.
What would it look like for me as a pastor to submit to you as a prophet?
Well, I think it's
so I can do it. I want to do it.
Well, since I'm writing a book on this.
Okay. You guys all heard
that. I'm halfway through my first paper
on Amazon. $14.99.
Just to put it in context, because you brought up the fivefold, because I think it's hard to go into a subject like this without really having it in the context of the fivefold. And with the issue with a pastor being the head of the church, you know, a local church, what I'd like to say is that sometimes that pastor might be actually a prophet. They might actually be an evangelist. They might
You're talking about the head leader.
The leader of the church.
Bishop of the church.
But then they're in the assigned role, if you will, of pastoring the church or leading the church.
Yeah.
And so each one of those will have their own little situation that they have to deal with an actual prophet in the church. And by the way, it could be a prophet that's in that lead role. That's a real problem.
For the people.
Yeah, what's the worst?
For everything.
What's
and
the worst fivefold gift to lead the church?
It's definitely a prophet. Definitely a prophet by far.
That's interesting.
Followed very closely, I think, by an apostle. because I think an apostle, you know, they're just like, okay, enough of this. You guys are on your own. We're going to start another thing going on over here. But, you know, they have vision, but not the structure that goes, I believe, that is required that goes with it. So I think that I don't know if we've confused everybody, especially some poor pastor listening to this right now, which I doubt that any pastor would listen to this. after the introduction, they're probably gone.
Nice.
But the reality is that it does come down to first respecting each other's gifts and when I not just gifts, but who you are in the church, the gift that you are to the church, and realizing that the fivefold are supposed to work together. And if they're not working together, all we're doing is we're just playing church because God's coming back for this glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And it's the fivefold that brings them into that place, not the onefold. It's not a onefold pastor or a onefold prophet or evangelist or, you know, apostle or teacher. And so there's like I said, if we put it in that context, if you just start from there, that it requires all five because Jesus, he was the embodiment of all five in one man. And when he left, we needed all five to bring it to pass.
Yeah,
so just I hope that helps confuse
Just to refresh people's memory, that's Ephesians 4. It's talking about these five roles that Christ gave as gifts to the church to equip the saints for the work of ministry until we all attain Christ-likeness, you know, the fullness of maturity in Christ. And so, I think that's really important that without all of them operating in some sort of love and mutual submission, we're not going to get the end result of Christ-likeness that the Holy Spirit's trying to produce in the church. Did you want to add anything to this?
Well, I was just going to say the pastor, they're really true fivefold pastors. They're guarding and they're keeping, they're protecting the flock and they're making sure that they're fed and that they're provided for. And so when you're asking, you know, what is the role of a pastor concerning the prophetic, the pastor is really, in a lot of ways, like the primary gatekeeper. And like, they're kind of deciding what can come in to affect the people and what needs to stay out and what do they need to be fed and what's not good for them. And so in a lot of ways, the pastoral person will really, affect the culture that is allowed to be in a certain local congregation. And so I would say they have a lot of influence over how much they're going to allow the prophetic to operate or not, and whether or not it will be done in a way that is helpful or harmful. I think they play a huge role in that.
I would agree with that. And I would also say that Jesus actually demonstrated the pastoring component of his ministry when he started to speak to himself as the, you know, basically the sheep gate. And, you know, he opens up the door, he's the gatekeeper. He closes the door, he allows things in, and he's a good shepherd that watches. And so he's a tend, like the Bible tells us about shepherds, they tend and they feed. So they care for and they feed. And so knowing what you're feeding the church with is the responsibility of the pastor. And so they are critical in that component. They can become a wonderful gate that opens or to good things or to bad, by the way, to dangerous things. Or they can be a gate that closes to the prophetic also, which so you can open the gate to the prophetic and great prophetic can come in, or really bad for that matter. So let's not forget that. So when they close the gate, it could be closing to really bad things. And that is their, there's a responsibility. But I believe when they understand that in their church, in their body, their local body, if there's actually mantled prophets, and identifying them is an interesting situation, that can actually work with them, and I think that there needs to be a bond of love there, first of all, or else it's not going to work. It's not a vying for position. It's not that, because in a church, the pastor is the lead in the church. And so, but they're not really the lead of everything. They don't generate everything. They're not designed to generate everything or be the all in all, because that's when churches fail, because they can't supply all of that. They can, for maybe short periods of time, they can, but if it's put on a poor person to do that, man or woman, to be the supplier of everything, it will just wear them down and wear them out, and they'll fail. I don't know if that helps, with some of this.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this, kind of talking about these differences in people generating ministry and gifts. You guys are both fivefold prophets, and also you have the role of pastor. So maybe you could speak to, is there a fundamental difference between those anointings, between the pastoral gift or slash anointing and the prophetic, just to help people understand what we're talking about, why there would be a need for a pastor to think differently maybe when approaching the prophetic, or there might be a need for the prophet to think differently when integrating with the pastor. What would you guys say could be a fundamental difference in outlook or gifting? Go for it.
I think pastors and prophets are very fundamentally different at their core, because with any of the fivefold gifts, they are themselves the gift. So they don't just operate in the gift. They are that. Prophets are prophets all the way through. Pastors are pastors all the way through. Same thing with evangelists, apostles, and teachers. So it's not like they're just putting on a ministry hat. It's actually like the makeup of who they are. And for reasons, for purpose. And so where pastors generally have the outlook of protecting and keep looking out for the welfare, the well-being of the sheep. I would say prophets are much more focused on what does God want, and what is, and kind of like almost, and their intention is to, they're willing to disrupt and they're willing to upset and unsettle. And so, because they need to, because yeah. that's their assignment. And so the two are meant to, balance each other out when you're talking about congregational care, but they also can come into some tension, because if one's goal is to upset, uproot, provoke, and the other one's yeah. purpose is to comfort, feed, tend, those things can come into conflict at times. Not, and it shouldn't be unhealthy conflict, but yeah. it will come into conflict. So that's good. It's an interesting.
Absolutely. Thing. When I think of a prophet, I think of a person that prods, mm-hmm. that pokes, like you're saying. And that's, what's that?
Prodfit.
Yeah, prodfit. Prodfit. New word has just been developed here in Christianity, prodfit. But they are a person, they in their core, like you said, it's that's who they are. They're okay with disrupting. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that everything should be disrupted all the time either. Right. And that's why, where a prophet must come into some kind of a harmony with the rest of the fivefold mm-hmm. and understand, okay, imagine if you were a prophet and you were, let's not just talk about the pastors. What about like a teacher? Let's mm-hmm. imagine you're like the only way you, if you're, and there's prophetic teaching, but imagine that's all it is. It would never have any of the systematic structure that's required to build a disciple. It would just yeah. be like, okay, it's, here it is today. Here it is tomorrow. You know, mm-hmm. you'd never really build properly, mm-hmm. although it's required. Mm-hmm. It's required, that spurring on, that activation is required. Mm-hmm. It's not the best way to teach, right? Yeah. And so this is why I believe the two prophets and pastors, for that matter, every other part of the fivefold, mm-hmm. are supposed to work together mm-hmm. because then they have to respect each other and who they are, like Liz was saying, at their core. And the biggest issue is when one tries to change the other. Mm. If when a prophet tries to make a pastor a prophet, mm-hmm. or a pastor tries to make a prophet a pastor, it's very difficult. You can respect the other person's what they do, and you can work with them in that, but you're not going to become that. It's mm-hmm. just not who you are. And mm-hmm. so it's very tough to, you know, try to make somebody be that kind of comforting person all the time when they're a prodder. Yeah. They, you know, they're a prod.
So we have to accept that there's people that will just annoy us all the time, and they'll just see
could
the world
you,
completely
could you
different.
Liz, when you say
us.
That,
there will be people. <I'm sorry. laughs> You know, they'll just see the world, you know, a completely different paradigm. That's gonna, it will, you know, chafe at times.
Yeah.
Times
perspective.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm with a group of people right now that are learning me. Oh. They're realizing, oh, like,
oh, you mean in Greece?
They're always creating new problems. He's laughing. I'm like, yes, now you're beginning to understand who I really am.
We fooled poor Pastor Paul. Well. We said we're sending Pastor Liz there.
Well, and it's, it is interesting because, like you mentioned, you know, I have been acknowledged by the church here as a fivefold prophet, but given the title of pastor, and I would say I was born a prophet, but I have learned how to shepherd. I've learned how to pastor because I've been raised up under very pastoral people.
Yeah.
And I agree with Pastor Bob. You're not gonna be able to, we cannot fundamentally change one another from who God created us to be, the fivefold gifting, but we are supposed to affect each other. And I believe that's one of the greatnesses of the fivefold is, you know, being raised up under very pastoral people. The Lord shaped me in a way that did not come naturally to me. And I've learned a lot from watching them and learning how they approach things and how they think about people and how their heart burns for people, you know, and for them to be whole. And so it's affected me in a lot of ways. Being around you has changed the way I think about evangelism and what it means to be looking and having a burden for lost and looking at the world around us. So I think that the fivefold, when it really is operating the way it should, they're supposed to impact one another. And I think Pastor Bob, you know, his prophetic mantle has impacted pastors in our house, has impacted teachers, has impacted people to think, to be able to hear the Lord more clearly and know that they can hear for themselves, you know? So I think it's the greatness of the fivefold that way.
Well, I think you can be changed, Liz. I think you can be born again. again.
As what? As someone doesn't cause problems?
Yes. Oh. Maybe. I think it has something to do with
the brain. Are you causing problems, or are you ripping off the nice little band-aids that people put over the problems?
It's people like to grow. But they don't like to be pushed into growth. They don't like to be prodded and provoked.
Sometimes you have to re-break a limb in order for it to heal. You know what I mean?
It's interesting when you carry a mantle of a prophet that you kind of feel sorry for the people around you if you have some. Because like Liz says, because we've also been brought up under a very pastoral covering, if you will. Mm-hmm. So we've learn to appreciate it and to embrace it as much as possible. But you do. I a lot of times I feel sorry for the people around me.
Yeah.
I'm like, geez.
My only comfort is knowing that I've been provoked by the Lord myself, and he's been dealing in me first, and then I get to share that with them. So it's not I'm never outside of the the process.
Yeah. So. Well, it's a good dynamic you guys are describing, because you have to prod the pastor. Okay. Got to hit the pastor with the crook, you know, with the shepherd's crook. But you're being nice about it. You're being respectful. You're also taking into account their perspective. And the pastor also has to not just beat the prophet into submission and be like, hey, you know, shut that person up. They're causing problems. They have to be willing to say, I need to, you know, integrate some of this counsel and weigh it. And maybe I don't see from a certain viewpoint. So that does take some maturity.
David, I actually think it's tough on the pastors because
it is.
It's really tough. I'm just kidding, because I think that because they have to also judge, like, can the sheep handle that now? Right. Can people handle what's coming down the pike? Is this the right timing? Can they handle it? Mm-hmm. And because sometimes a word, you know, a word's fitly spoken is great. When it's not, it causes all sorts of weird. Hammer. It's the hammer. And so,
Well, good. It seems like the prophetic's very dangerous. Seems like it could cause a lot of problems.
Yes.
It needs to be, you know, really overseen. No, I'm just kidding. But, you mentioned the gatekeeper element. And why would a pastor want to open the gate to something like the prophetic that could just be so, it could be so dangerous? It can be dangerous. So we might know the reasons that, you know, pastors would want to really regulate it, and those would be good reasons. But what do we gain when, as a pastor, we do open the door to the prophetic voice?
Well, I believe all of fivefold are bringing Christ, right? And they're an expression of him. And so it's just like, you know, any part of your body, it works in harmony. It understands it's part of a body. It must work together, right? And so I think all of the fivefold, and I believe pastors, especially in a church, recognize if they're a good pastor, okay, they recognize there's there's an essential component of the prophetic, just like there's an essential component of the teaching, of the evangelistic, and of the apostolic. And if all five components aren't in play, the church doesn't grow properly. Mm-hmm. It can grow in numbers, but not grow in maturity and depth.
Yeah. Okay.
And so you can have a very big church that's very shallow. You can have a very small church that's really deep and just powerful in the earth. And we see that. You see that in the first century. You know, the churches were tiny and little home churches probably. And they were under tremendous persecution, but yet, you know, advancing in power, and they advance the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ in the earth, regardless of the size they were, because I believe they had depth. Mm-hmm. They understood. They allowed everything to function. And, you know, like I say, we see that in the writings of Paul. We see how, you know, the fivefold kind of worked together or appreciated each other, if you will.
Absolutely.
So I don't know if any of that made sense to you, but it's... I think that, you know, Pat, like I said, it's the appreciation one of another, and not just appreciation, but recognizing how essential each component is. Mm-hmm. And that without that, something is so missing that the church doesn't actually grow in depth.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that a true shepherd, and I would say it this way, like a true father or mother, they want to see people grow up into maturity and to come into the fullness of who they are. And that really only happens with the full counsel of God. And it only happens when people begin to hear the Lord for themselves. And so I think, you know, any pastor that's just interested in like, well, I hear, they need to receive everything from me. They're not interested in bringing people to maturity. Mm-hmm. When they step past that place and come into, I want all of my people to be able to hear the Lord for themselves and to be mature people and to be seasoned where they can feed other people and they're interested in multiplying, then you must have the prophetic in the mix because they have to be able to hear the Lord, discern the voice of God, know what to do with it, know how to operate in an orderly way, how to build up the church. If the pastor's the only one building the church, it's going to take a long time to build.
Well, You'll I mean, it's a key there, difference right? between, like you said, multiplication and addition. Pastor can maybe add one by one, but if he's empowering everybody through harnessing the prophetic and the evangelistic and everything else, there can be this multiplication.
Yeah.
So yeah, you gain a lot. I mean,
well, I think it's an interesting really component of all the fivefold in that in all of the mantled components of the fivefold, they are all fathers. Mm-hmm. They father, that's their purpose as a father. The drawback to that is you want everybody to be like you, or you think everybody should be just like you. Yeah. So if it's a pastor or if it's, you know, like, oh, everybody should be caring and shepherding for each other. There's a component of that. That's true. And then a prophet's like, yeah, everybody should be hearing God and prophesying, you know, and there's a component of that's absolutely true. Right. Same thing with a teacher, evangelist, and an apostle.
Yeah.
But that's not all there is in the church. There are people that are different. They have different assignments, different gifts, and most people are not called to the fivefold. So that's a whole nother component.
Right.
And so, and yet fivefold are like looking who they can birth more of them, that as well as growing the church. Mm-hmm. It's a strange component about the fivefold. I keep bringing it up because we can't discuss prophets and pastors independent of how it works in the fivefold because they're so instrumental, they're so a component of the fivefold.
And I think that, you know, there are risks with the prophetic. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, there's risk with the word of God. It's a sword, you know, and it cuts to deliver and to heal and to set free. And so there are risks there, but I think what we found is the risk is definitely worth the reward. If you do it right, if you do it in the way that the word of God counsels with the guardrails in place, the reward far outweighs the risk. Because what I see with the prophetic is it performs and it functions in a way that nothing else can. Mm-hmm. The prophetic can cut through so many things and it cuts right to the heart of somebody and can validate them, minister to them, heal them, comfort them, put their life on the right road. You know, it can cut through so many things in such a short time. It accomplishes something that nothing else can. It's designed to. And so I just would implore any pastor that has concerns about that, or maybe has shut the door to it, that there are ways to do it that will bring life and will bring fullness and will bring people into maturity and allow God to accomplish things in minutes that cut away years of troubles and confusions and really just do miraculous things.
That's so funny. When you said that, I get this picture in my mind of, you know, a person, if, you know, generally speaking, if a person's going through things, they want to be comforted, you know, a pastor, a shepherd will hold on to them and walk with them and comfort them. But if they've taken a bullet in their stomach, they can hold on to them and hug them and kiss them all they want. They're going to die of the bullet. But the sword will go in and it's operative. So it's going to go in and remove that. It can do, like you said, in one moment, what the comforting, which is necessary, by the way, once right. the cut is the mm-hmm. bullet's removed, if you will, mm-hmm. the comfort has to be the healing, the yeah. all that must happen right. in addition, mm-hmm. but it's what's appropriate for the time.
Right.
And that's the thing. And I would
then
say
you teach them, here's how to not get shot yeah, next time.
Don't right. get shot. This, exactly. exactly. That's what the teacher does. Yeah. This is how you avoid. But there's also a danger in, well, we see this actually in the church today and all around the world. You see the danger in just being what I would call pastor centric mm-hmm. because you see churches dying mm-hmm. because they've been comforted right into, ooh. They've been lulled right into death. Wow. Because they've not been taught to stand on their own and to hear God on their own and to move. They've just been, they've been stroked. And so you see a lot of, and on top of that, the worst part is, you know, you see the, you know, churches cessationist where they won't bring in the things of the Spirit. And then you see them dying. They have no power. They just, mm-hmm. and by the way, they could be dying and getting bigger at the same time. Mm-hmm. And which is an interesting component. And we have mm-hmm. to realize that. So both ends of this spectrum are bad. You know, yeah. if you just have prophets gone wild, it could get crazy.
Right.
And it can get really crazy.
But why shouldn't the prophets go crazy? They're hearing direct from God.
Oh, yes.
They know. You know, pastors don't know anything.
That's right. That's right.
Right? A little bit
arrogant. Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting?
He's being sarcastic. Yes. Just like
it's interesting.
If you agreed with that, you have a problem.
Yes, big problem. What's interesting to me, because in the Old Testament, the pastors were the prophets. In many ways.
They also hacked
They were the preachers, if you will. Yeah. They were the what?
They also hacked people up in pieces.
Exactly.
How many did Elijah kill? A couple hundred? Yeah, it was intense in the old days.
I think we're going to be thrown off of YouTube on this one. Yeah. Shooting bullets, hacking. Wow. Yeah, easy come, easy go.
That's a good point. Let me just ask just a follow up on something Liz said about like the guardrails. Mm. What are maybe some practical ways pastors could help to steward the prophetic? Like what are maybe some guardrails or some practices that we've found that a pastor could use? Do you have anything that comes to mind?
I think that pastors should be trained in the prophetic. I think that a mistake that they could make is just be like, oh, that's not, I don't have anything to do with that. You go get trained over there and you do it. And they have no idea what's actually being taught or being until it becomes a problem. So I think that it's really good for pastors to receive training in the prophetic just because they're supposed to hear from God and prophesy as well. Yeah. But also so that they can be part of creating prophetic culture in the church. And they should be part of, Pastor Bob referenced this earlier, but there should be discussion of someone has a word to bring. They need to be part of the judging and the evaluating and discerning what the time is for the people or for an individual in the church. So the pastors, as far as the guardrails and the guidelines go, I mean, we have a whole teaching on this, you know, but they are a big part of making sure that the prophetic is building up and not tearing down, making sure the timing is right, making sure the situation is right, and I would say this, shepherding the souls of the prophets. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge job.
They don't need that. I'm just kidding. Sorry.
I think that's a huge responsibility that the pastors actually have to the prophets. The same way the prophet has a responsibility to speak the word of God to the pastors as the leaders and bring direction, the pastors should shepherd the souls of the prophets and make sure that they're spiritually healthy and cared for.
That's really important. If a prophet goes unhealthy, start getting some mean prophecies.
Yeah, it's bad news.
Start
getting some curse decrees coming out. Yeah.
Well, I actually believe there's a big responsibility in pastors to shepherd the word that's coming into their church, especially from an external source that maybe they are not that familiar with or they're not in relationship with. So internally in a church, if the fivefold is operating, I believe the fivefold should be in relationship one with another. They should know each other. They should know their characters. You know what they're made of. They should know that they all have the same vision, and that's to build up the church of God, not just build up the size of the church, but mature the church. I see an issue where sometimes what happens is a prophetic voice from outside the church comes into a church, and the pastors are not good gatekeepers there. They just allow the voice to go when they don't know the voice. They don't know the person. They don't know anything. And then they wind up doing a lot of damage, you know, control later, or trying to undo things. And then the prophetic takes on this weird vibe, if you will, in the church, and people are like, wow, that guy was weird, and our pastor's okay with him because they're trying to make nice with him. Well, it's okay to make nice with the person and make friends with them, but you better figure out what their character is about and what their purpose is in the church. When they come in as an outside prophetic voice into a church, are they submitted to the church leadership? Or do they understand what the church's purpose is? And are they connected in relationship? And I think that is a dangerous place to speaking globally in the church. And that's why the prophetic has been just nixed in a lot of churches, because some prophet blew in, started giving strange things, and the pastor's like, I gotta shut the gate permanently. And I can't allow this. You know, they wrecked some of my people, promised them weird stuff that I don't agree with. And it's not, seriously, those are real things that people have to deal with. Pastors have to deal with. And I would advise pastors, like, you need to come into a relationship and understand the character of a person first before you allow them to speak into your church. And you know, when you're developing that in your church, it's a little easier because you've walked with people in your church, you understand who they are and their heart toward the rest of the people of God and their heart toward the vision that God's put in that church.
So look at their character, not their gifting.
Right.
Interesting.
Exactly that.
Wow. Okay. So that would be a good safeguard. You know, like you guys are mentioning a lot of things like that's really good of just being in relationship with people and checking things by the word of God. Allowing the word to be edification, exhortation, and comfort, knowing outside ministers, judging the word. Like you said, maybe sometimes wacky prophecies go out, and then that's the responsibility probably of the pastors and other prophets to weigh those words and tell the person if it's off base, you know, so that the prophetic retains its weight, if someone was going off the rails, that could be held accountable to that extent.
It's a tough, a tough push there because some of those words sometimes are delivered to an entire church. And just to still respect a person and honor them and not, be weird, but still to correct. I mean, it's a lot tougher when it's in a whole church-wide thing, when you have to correct the word that's come over your church. And how is that done with dignity and honor and not shaming somebody? And what happens if that prophet was having just a bad day, and they just started prophesying out of their heart, and then how do you deal with that? How do you, and not, you know, maybe the person really is a, mantle prophet, has, that gift from God, is that gift from God? And how do you just not sink them completely, but let them understand where you're at in that thing and let your people understand, because your people will then begin to turn off their ear to the voice of God, to the word of the Lord, because they can discern like that's weird. And like, so you as a pastor, you let that in to this place. And so it brings in a lot of confusion, but this is where the prophetic is that dangerous thing.
Yeah.
And we have to look at it seriously, what it means, because either that or we're just playing church. That's the reality of it. We're just playing about like church, and we won't actually grow.
Yeah, so there's a lot of responsibility, not just to bring someone in that could be a good connection or could be flashy or something like that, but actually to say, like, we're going to get to know you and we want your voice because it's going to edify our church and bring us the word of God. That's our concern. It's not some extraneous concern for other goals or motivations. Yeah. Did you have anything you wanted to add on that?
I don't think so.
Well, how about this one? Kind of build on it.
That was bad enough.
What are some other, we'll keep going. What are maybe some other mistakes that pastors should be aware of that they could make, shepherding the prophetic and how to avoid that? Like, what are maybe something that you've seen? You mentioned with like letting an outside voice in, but right. Is there anything else that's come into your mind of like,
well, one of the things
you should really be aware of this.
One of the things that come to my mind is sometimes because we're all human beings, we can let the prophetic take on an emotional level that's just emotionally driven. And it's not actually word judged or word driven. And so it has an emotional component to it that feels good. And by the way, a shepherd's heart is one that's comforting and healing. And I mean, they're great, right? And so a pastor, I believe, will be more inclined toward an emotional component that's comfort and, you know, that. And that's a tough rub against the prophetic, because what happens if the prophetic's correcting? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it could be comforting also, absolutely. But if it's correcting or directing, and and like I said, or you're just moved as a pastor just because emotionally it felt right. Mm-hmm. And the prophetic cannot be judged like that. Mm-hmm. It should not be judged just strictly emotionally. It must be judged according to the word of God and by the Spirit of God. And so, by the way, there's two ends of that, right? And then we've discussed that here in the past, and I sent you a little something this morning, actually, that discusses that, is that you can drive it all emotionally or you could drive it all intellectually, and you can miss out on both ends of that spectrum. Mm-hmm. You could just be like, you know, now we're shutting down everything because it's not, you know, it's not strictly right. You know, it's not structured properly, and, you know, and that'll just shut down the prophetic like that.
Yeah.
Or you'll just do the whole, it feels so good, and, you know, and then you'll only be driven in that direction. So there's a big balance there. Mm-hmm. And that's probably, I think, one of the tougher things that, a pastor faces, a prophet faces, to be able to issue the prophetic into a church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Liz? Anything else coming to your mind?
Yeah. We're talking about pitfalls.
Yeah. Or anything that's on your mind, really.
Okay. Yeah. I think that, what I want to say, I think a pastor needs to understand the responsibility of managing a prophetic culture on both ends, allowing freedom, but then also they must be willing to deal with things that are out of order and to address things that are happening that are wrong, no matter who it is that is involved, I mean, no matter who it is that's delivering the word. So they cannot be intimidated by people. I think that's they can't be people fearers. And I would say that including dealing with mantled prophets, they must be able to push back on them. They must be able to say, you know, to stand up, and because a prophet will bring it with a lot of passion and conviction, what they believe they're hearing from the Lord. And the pastor must be able to say, I hear what you're saying. I think that we need to hold on this, or I think it's not the time. I know that as a prophet, I've needed that. I've needed that from pastors, and I've appreciated it. I didn't appreciate it in the moment because it was like, no, this needs to happen now. You know, I see it because you see it very clearly. Yeah. But I've come to appreciate and really value the pushback from the pastors of, I don't think it's the right time yet. I'm going to wait on this because between the two of us, generally, we come to the right time and the right way. And even if we're a little off, we've done it together in relationship together. And so the relationship is not breached that way. So I think they can't be afraid to address things, to correct things, and to push back on prophetic people. And, you know, again, including all the fivefold in that, same with the other fivefold giftings, there has to be enough solid relationship between the two, all of them, that they can push against one another and test and provoke each other a little bit, but then at the end come to this, okay, this is what we are deciding together, and this is how we're going to move forward. So I think that's really key for pastors. And I would also just say with pastors, I think that, what I want to say, I don't know.
I think what you were saying earlier about the relational component between the whole fivefold, but pastors and prophets, is so instrumental, because I think that has to be a love relationship and purpose relationship. I believe it has to have care for the for one another and for the purpose of God in the church. Mm-hmm. And when that's your focus, that when that's where you're going, then you are able to receive pushback one from another. And because they should push on each other. That's where the integrity happens. That's where the strength happens. Mm-hmm. And what Liz was saying earlier about prophets, one of the interesting things, just like a pastor, you know, a pastor, like I said, I believe they, most of the time they'll be like, I just got to care for this person and, you know, and rescue and help them in any way I can. And I think a prophet, when they receive a word, it's a now word. It's like, for a prophet, it's like, yeah, this is it. there's no maybe if it's now. Mm-hmm. That's how they, I believe a true prophet receives the word. But that's why they have to have the balance mm-hmm. of actually, like I said, the whole fivefold ministry mm-hmm. on how that is to be brought about. Mm-hmm. And so there's this tension between the two that is not a tension that's designed to break apart the church. Right. It's actually a tension that's designed to strengthen the church.
Yeah.
Good.
So did I give you enough time to figure out what else you wanted to say?
My brain stopped for a minute there. But I think that I was just going to say the... I think there's a lot of pressure on pastors, and I don't think this is a scriptural or biblical pressure. I think it's a cultural pressure where the pastor feels like they're the ones who are supposed to supply everything. They're supposed to hear from God. They're supposed to, you know, be able to take care of all the people. They're supposed to, and there's this immense amount of pressure and responsibility that's been put on them that they're not designed to carry. And so really it takes a clarity from the Lord for them to, first of all, be able to dismantle that mindset. But it also takes humility. Mm. It takes a humility of understanding I cannot actually supply everything the church needs, and I don't need to. Mm-hmm. And same way, the prophets have to have a humility of mm-hmm. I cannot supply everything the church needs. I hear from the Lord, but mm-hmm. he's also given other gifts that mm-hmm. I cannot do what they do. So I think that one of the pitfalls for pastors, prophets, and the rest of the fivefold mm-hmm. is this area of pride where you feel like your gift is the most accurate and the other ones, they all have their weaknesses. And if only they would listen to you, then everything would be good.
Of course, that's the way.
And there is, and there is a temptation there because like you guys mentioned, a pastor is supposed to have the rod and defend the flock against error and mm-hmm. wolves, and they have to really step up and do that. So there is a time that they need to, you absolutely. Know, put on the big boy pants and get out there, you know?
Well, I think also David, one of the things is I really respect of a pastor when they step into the preaching aspect of their pastoring, which is different. Like most, I think in a lot of churches, they see the pastor as the preacher. Mm. And the deal is they are at times, well, so is the prophet and the evangelist and everybody else, right? Mm-hmm. The reality there is that when they step into that preaching component of their ministry, they are prophetic. They're bringing the word of God, and it's a now word, right? It's supposed
hopefully.
To be.
Hopefully.
No,
a lot
no,
of times,
I understand that, but that is the assignment, right? Mm-hmm. That actually is supposed to be the assignment, right? That's why when I said earlier in the Old Testament, the prophets were the preachers. They were the preachers, not, maybe it's a stretch saying shepherds, that too, but that preaching aspect's a little different. We've associated the preaching with the shepherding. Mm-hmm. We've made them synonymous in many places. That's it. Mm-hmm. And so then you have these churches that have a preacher guiding the whole church, and they may not be a very good shepherd, to be honest with you.
Interesting.
They may not. Or they might be. I'm not saying they can't be.
Oh, right.
But they also, when they step into that role, they are prophetic, I believe, or supposed to be, like mm-hmm. you said. Mm-hmm. And that's they're bringing the word of God. So when I look at preaching, I mean, from my prophetic aspect, I always look at it like, okay, what are you prophesying to me today? Right? I heard the Lord gave me this. You see, preachers get up, the Lord showed me that. He's like, okay, well, right. then you're apparently prophesying to me.
Yeah. I mean, that should be a part, at least, even if you're doing systematic teaching, that
absolutely.
Should be a time that it speaks to everybody. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the humility idea is so key because especially pastoring the prophetic, there has to be humility that like, hey, we had our agenda. And I had my 10-point sermon, but now God's doing something. You know, like the Lord spoke a call to repentance, or the Lord spoke a different direction maybe at the outset of a service or, mm-hmm. or an assembly. And you want to pastor that. You want to actually pastor people into what God's directing, not try to just rip it back from God and say like, well, we had our perfect plan here, you know?
Right.
And I think it's very challenging for pastors in, especially in like a mega church situation or like with a tight schedule, or there's many churches where they can't be open to the prophetic expression. Mm-hmm. Like it's going to ruin everything. You know, it's going to be pretty messy. So that's a decision that you have to make as a pastor if you're going to introduce that in your church. I mean, that was going to be another question I had, was how could a pastor introduce the prophetic? Like maybe their church believes in the prophetic, but they don't express it in the corporate worship, or they don't encourage people to activate in it necessarily. Mm-hmm. Maybe they haven't taken that step to say like, yeah, we really want to go all in on this. How would you advise them to go about that?
Well, I'm going to let
come to Voice of God training.
I'm going to let Pastor Liz, Prophet Liz, discuss that. But I want to brag on our church, first of all, a little bit, because our church, and our pastors, for that matter, traditionally in the past, have taken prophetic words and made them part of the preaching, brought the prophetic word to a place, brought it up to a place, and brought it before the people so that they understand, oh, that word is so vital to our church that now we are preaching on that word. And we've done that for a year in the past or more. And so there's a component of bringing the value of the word, raising it and presenting it before the people, generally speaking. And so I know that, like I said, here at Word of Life Fellowship Incorporated in Miwok Village, come down 10 o'clock Sunday morning. But we've done that in the past, and I hope that we will continue to do that. But it's a vital component where the people get to see, recognize, oh, that's recognized, and it's also valued. But then I'll let Pastor, Preacher, Prophetess Liz answer your question more relative.
Wow. Okay. I think, first of all, the pastor should convey their beliefs about the prophetic to the congregation. Like, if they're trying to bring this in brand new to the congregation, they should teach them. Yep. They should teach them the scriptural foundation, yes, for the prophetic today in operation, and that all are called to prophesy. Then they need to set up, I believe this has really, really helped their church, to set up guidelines, mm-hmm, of how we're going to operate and how we are not going to operate, so that people know that there's safety in place. They know that there's, yeah, measures. They know how, like, we can step into this, and if things are going to start going off the rails, we know how it's going to be dealt with. We know that, mm-hmm, it's not just a free-for-all. There's been thought put into it. I think that's a really good way to approach things with a congregation. And I think also they need to validate prophetic voices in the house. Mm-hmm. These are people that are trusted voices. You should listen to them. You should go to them, let them mentor you. I think setting up and validating voices in the house, those are kind of like the first areas I guess I would start with. Mm-hmm. And also get help from churches that you see that are operating well in the prophetic. And, you know, most people are very willing to share and to help. We'd love to go in and help other houses that are hungry for the prophetic learn how to do it in a way that's going to build, because it builds the church. We're interested in building the church. So, so those are kind of some of the steps.
I think when you recognize a house that's operating in the prophetic, I think one of the key things is, do they have a systematic training of the prophetic? Mm-hmm. Because without that, you just, you know, like you said, it's a free for all. Mm-hmm. And without the training component, you get, you know, it gets a little crazy. And that's what people turn off to the prophetic for all the time. So I would say find a church that has systematic training in the prophetic. It's not just, you know, willy nilly, everything goes.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I mean, do you guys want to give any final exhortations to the pastors or the prophets out there of how to deal with maybe prophets dealing with their pastor, or pastors dealing with their annoying prophets that they have?
Yes.
Would you guys want to speak to that as we close?
I would just say honor and humility, honoring one another and being humble, and not allowing any competition or comparison to come in. Honor and humility are always the best way forward. when we're dealing with these things.
Yeah, I would say that both should remember they have a master in heaven, and they're serving him, and they're serving his purposes, not their own. And if you have that in front of you, along with honor and humility, and there's that love and respect one for another and for the ministry, the work of God, you actually won't go off the rails. And I'm going to pray for you that, because if you're a pastor out there listening to this or a prophet, that God will strengthen you in this, because it's not easy. There's that tension, and you can't allow the tension to break you. It needs to strengthen you.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you pray for him?
Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for those that have been called to pastor, to shepherd your church. Father, I pray your anointing be upon them, upon their ears and their hearts and their eyes, upon their mouths as they give, Father, upon their hands as they touch and lay hands on the church. I pray your anointing on them, God. And that, Father, that a new understanding and respect for how the fivefold works, and especially how prophets and pastors work together, God, would come into our souls, that you would, Father, even from this small place here today, Lord, that in the earth, Father, you would breathe this into the earth, oh God. I believe, Father, that you are able to do way beyond, Father, what we can imagine or think, oh God. So I pray even from this simple little prayer today that it would just spread out into the earth, oh God. That you would touch, Father, your church. You'd bring, Father, your anointing into the church as never before, oh God. So guard the hearts, Father. Guard the hearts of pastors and prophets. Father, that we might strengthen your church and your people and bring honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah, take this and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Take this as a direction from God to introduce the prophetic, to shepherd it responsibly, and to unleash its power to build the church in the earth. This is something that you're called to do as a pastor, not to hold it back, but to let it go in the Holy Spirit with oversight. So we'll be praying for you, and we hope that you will step into it with all your might. We'll see you next time. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit SpiritSchoolOfMinistry.com.